Hey guys, welcome back to the Toxic Mom Podcast. This is episode 2 of season 6. We have Lori Vallow-Daybell, who finally had her trial that started in April of this year. A long time coming. This case has been a thorn in many of our sides for the last couple of years. We're coming up on the anniversary date. I hate to say that, but we're coming up on the anniversary date of when her children were reported missing. September of 2019 is when her children, Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow, were reported missing. And their remains were found almost a year later, June of 2020, on the property of her current husband, Chad Daybell. And it seems as if this never was going to happen. Lori was arrested in Hawaii in 2020. And when she was flown back to Idaho, that started this whole ripple effect of her being found incompetent to stand trial. She had to go through restorative therapy that took a long time. They set a trial date, and then that got delayed. The two of them were supposed to be tried together, her and her husband. That was scratched at the last minute when evidence came up that his attorney, her husband's attorney, wanted time to review. So then they set another trial date, that got delayed again. And then they finally set a trial date, and it happened this year, 2023. 4 years after the children went missing. 3 years after they were found dead. But we finally got here. There were no cameras allowed in the courthouse. The judge did not allow that to happen. He allowed audio. So if you want to go on and actually listen to the trial, you can do that. It's just you're not going to see any faces. The trial was moved hundreds of miles away to prevent a biased jury. However, that has to be quite difficult when you have a case like this where everybody has heard about it because the media ran with this story. You know, you have two missing children, and that usually sparks a lot of attention. And the fact that they were Caucasian sparked a lot of attention. So we have a lot of moving parts as to why this trial or this case was so big. But at the end of the day, you have two missing children who then were later found dead. They didn't kill themselves. Somebody put them there. So jury selection started. They came up with 12 jurors and a few alternates. All of them said they were going to be able to keep themselves with an open mind. Most of them had heard of the case, didn't know specifics, but did hear of it. Again, you're going to get that when you have a case that's this big. So they got started. The prosecution goes first. Obviously, they have the burden of proof. Then the defense puts up their case. There were about 60 witnesses that were called by the state. The majority of them were law enforcement and forensics. This case was solved thanks to cell phone data. The majority of this case was solved not by common sense, but by cell phone data. Yes, we know that in the beginning, Lori and her husband, and even Lori's brother, had something to do with the disappearance of the children. But they had to figure out what happened before they, you know, got to the trial. If you remember back when they discovered the bodies of her children, how they knew where to go was because of the cell phone data from her husband, Chad Daybell, who was not her husband at the time, and her brother. Their cell phones pinged at the specific location of where Tylee was found dismembered and burned, and her son, JJ, was found wrapped in duct tape. That's how they were able to figure out where these two kids were buried. And if you remember as well, Chad Daybell was sending very bizarre text messages to his wife. Remember, he said that he was outside and there was a raccoon that rolled by and he shot it. It wasn't uncommon for him to kill animals because apparently there was a pet cemetery on his property. So he clearly was setting himself up for, in case they're questioning why the ground is disturbed, his wife or his children or even his grandchildren that came over for visits. Oh, he told me a couple days ago that he shot a raccoon and buried him. So, you know, common sense. But again, we need more than common sense to solve a case. So again, they called many witnesses. Cell phone data revealed a lot of information. And also, Lori was charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder against her current husband's deceased wife, Tammy, and a slew of fraud surrounding the money that she collected when her children were deceased and stuff that she was doing surrounding her third husband's death, who she is charged with. She's going to be going to Arizona for that. She's charged with conspiracy to commit murder against her third husband, who was shot dead by her biological brother. Yeah, this case has a lot of dramatics in it and a lot of people. So Lori was married again multiple times. 2 out of the 4 husbands are dead, one of them being her daughter's biological father. Tylee Ryan's father died, according to his sister, who was Tylee's aunt. She now suspects that there was something going on with that, but they can't prove that because he was cremated. But she did collect benefits after he died. She also was collecting money after her third husband died. And JJ, who was autistic, also was getting a check from the state. She was still collecting that, even though she knew the entire time he was dead. So she was charged with fraud in that aspect, okay? So let's just stick to the murder charges, because I feel like those are the bigger issues, although the other stuff involving the money is very significant because it showed Lori's state of mind when all of this took place. This is where her mindset was, and this is why, in my opinion, she did all of this, because she was greedy. So the basis of the trial was to prove that Lori had something to do with her children's death. Her behavior prior to the death came from the testimony of friends and family, one being Melanie Gibb, who Lori coerced into lying for her when the police came to do a wellness check for JJ. She told her friend Lori to tell the police that he was with her in Arizona. She went along with it at first, but then decided that, no, I'm going to fess up. He never was here. This is what she and Chad told me to say. Okay? So before JJ ended up deceased and Tylee, Melanie and Melanie's boyfriend testified that Lori started saying that the children were zombies, that they were not human. They were these evil forces. And if you look through the cell phone data, because they did make it available, her and Chad sent a lot of text messages back and forth with the same type of nonsense, and also threw in his wife with that. So these two convinced each other that her children plus his wife were just no good. And what happens to people or entities that are no good? They must be destroyed. So this was her state of mind leading up to this. Yeah, there's nothing really else to add to that. That's basically what was happening. Lori, who seemed at one point to be a loving, doting mother, just turned. But I don't think she just turned, because you have to look back at the history of Lori Vallow Daybell. If you go back to when she was married to Tylee Ryan's father, I don't know if people really heard that information or looked into it, but she accused him of molesting Tylee. And he got investigated, and he lost some custody of Tylee. He got it back, but still, Lori has had a history of very bizarre, egregious behavior before she met Chad Daybell. So she accused the father of her daughter of molesting her, which caused him a lot of problems, as it would anybody charged with any sort of abuse towards children. And at one point, again, it cost him his custody. Then when they worked through that, he was able to see Tylee again, and then he mysteriously died. They did an autopsy and pretty much concluded it was natural causes. Again, his sister does not believe that, but it's a done deal because his remains were cremated and they will never be able to autopsy. But she collected monies after he died. Surprise, surprise. When she met Chad Daybell, he was still happily married. She was still married. They fell in love after meeting at some event up in Idaho. And that's what started this. They started an affair. They were texting, having inappropriate conversations, and then started the transition that her two children plus his wife were evil entities that needed to be destroyed. The first event that happened, however, was the killing of her third husband, Charles Vallow, who she was still married to when she met Chad. He started noticing some off-the-wall behavior from Lori. He even went to the police and told them that she said that he was no longer who he was and that he was going to be attacked. Just a lot of argle bargle, but he was afraid. He went to the police, and unfortunately, the police, as it appears, did not take his complaints seriously. She disappeared at one time with the kids. He didn't know where she was. She came back. She was being weird. And he tried, and he tried, and he tried. And he must have got some sort of epiphany because he ended up taking Lori off his life insurance policy and transferring over to his sister. He was shot and killed during a kerfuffle between Lori's brother when he came to pick up JJ to take him to school. He was shot and killed. According to Lori's brother, he got physical with him and his only means of defense was to shoot him. And he died. When she goes to contact the life insurance company, to her surprise, she's no longer the beneficiary. And boy, was she livid, because she made that known to the police officers that came to check on her son, who nobody had heard from in months. Why would you be bringing that up to police officers that are doing a wellness check on your kid, that your dead husband removed you from the life insurance policy? So, yeah. So anyway, they investigated that, and here we are today. So back to the trial. So the trial had a bunch of moving parts again. Majority of it was law enforcement. They played a lot of tapes of the interaction that Lori had with the police when they came to do the wellness check, and that's when they discovered that her daughter was also missing. Her son testified. They played tapes of her conversations with her son. She seemed to have absolutely no remorse. He was questioning her as to the whereabouts of his sister. He said he had been texting his sister's phone. Sometimes he would get a response, sometimes he would not. He was used to hearing from her often. He started not to hear from her. That's what sparked his red flag. And again, this is Lori's biological son. This is Tylee's brother. So we have a son who realizes that something is really off, and he knows deep down inside that his mother's responsible. So those audio recordings were very, very crucial to the case because it showed Lori's state of mind. Obviously, they played the interaction between Melanie Gibb and her when she called alongside Chad and wanted her to lie that JJ was with them. That showed her state of mind as well. And the big thing that people honed in on was her conversation that she had from her sister, again, while she was locked up. The sister was in tears. She couldn't understand why her sister had no reaction and just seemed unsympathetic to the fact that her children are found dead on her current husband's property. And at this entire time that the children were in the ground, rotting, she was in Hawaii getting remarried and smiling and happy on the beach while her children were dead. That was a pretty significant moment in the trial, along with the autopsy information that was displayed, the careful grave digging that was done. Remember, Chad Daybell used to dig graves for a living. So a lot of stuff that just made Lori look really, really bad. And all of it came from cell phone. They showed text messages between her and Chad leading up to the day that Tylee disappeared and then JJ. And it just was pretty damning towards her. Google searches that she was doing surrounding death benefits. Why are you looking up death benefits prior to your husband even dying? So again, that's going to play a big role in the case that she's facing in Arizona. But a lot of this came out during this trial. Again, there were 60 witnesses. And when it came time for her team to call witnesses, there was nobody. They got up. They said the state did not prove that Lori did anything, even though they found a hair of hers on the duct tape that was covering her son's corpse. And they rested their case. Lori did not speak. Nobody spoke for her. Everybody that she was basically related to were witnesses for the state. So the jury goes out and they deliberate. And they came back with a guilty verdict. I mean, there was going to be no way she was going to be found not guilty. It just was just too much. And to quote Dan Abrams over there on ABC, the chief legal analyst, a not guilty verdict was not an option here. You had a woman whose DNA was found on the duct tape of her dead son. You have a woman who was doing massive amounts of Google searches surrounding death benefits. They were looking up wedding rings after the children went missing. Acting very bizarre. She was calling the school to have JJ's services removed while he was still living. She called, remember that? That was on one of the podcasts I did. I did so many on this case because it just was so many moving parts. Remember, JJ had a service animal because he's autistic. And he had services set up through the school, again, because he was special needs. She canceled those before JJ even went missing. So she did a lot to sort of prepare and plan for the disappearance and permanent removal of her children. So a not guilty was not an option. And then, of course, the cell phone of her husband and dead brother that links them right to the bodies. I mean, how was she going to explain this? If she had took the stand, it just would have been a disaster. But it would have been a fun disaster to watch. But anyway, I digress. When it came time to her sentencing, she was sentenced of August of this year. There were people that spoke. Tammy Daybell's family spoke. I'm not going to talk too much about that because I think that case is more towards her husband. Tammy was her body was exhumed and she was autopsied. Because if you remember, when she first died, she was not autopsied. They took the word of her husband that she got sick and then she just suddenly died. Don't ask me why they did that. A perfectly healthy woman that is young all of a sudden just dies in her sleep and they do no autopsy. They take the word of a husband. Okay. Well, after all of this happened with her kids missing and all the lies that they uncovered, they decided to exhume the body of his dead wife, autopsied her, and found that she died of asphyxia. There was bruises found on her body that, according to the medical examiner, seemed to be defense wounds. But he doesn't know if they came before or after she was dead. Either way, it was ruled a homicide. So she was found guilty of conspiracy to commit murder. Because there was times where Lori was asking Chad in the text messages when he was going to get rid of his wife. Not in that direct way, but in her secret bizarre code way. Okay, so anyway, you get to sentencing and her sister, Tammy Dalebell's sister, spoke. Obviously, JJ's grandparents spoke, the ones that really got this case started, with the ones that sent out the wellness check for JJ and they realized Tylee was also missing. They spoke. And then Lori spoke. Lori had this very bizarre rant of how her children had visited her from heaven and how they were happy where they are, how she had an outer body experience when she was giving birth to Tylee. She died and was brought back. God brought her back to her body to take care of her daughter because she had unfinished business. She just was going on and on and on, not taking accountability for the fact that your daughter was dismembered and burned and your son was wrapped in duct tape. I mean, this is outrageous. And she went on this long rant, and finally the judge spoke. And he acknowledged her good behavior in jail, because you know they always have to do that. But he also did tell her that the case was very traumatizing to him and the jury. That even through all of this, she still is showing no remorse. She still is latching on to this bizarre experience that, you know, she's created in her head, that all of this was done to benefit her kids. But he really focused on the fact of why he thought she did it, because she was greedy and wanted her children away so she could have Chad all to herself. This came down to money, because Lori has been scamming the system for many years. She's collecting benefits, knowing her children are dead in the ground. And then she's trying to file to get her husband's life insurance policy, you know, before he even died. I mean, this is crazy. Just goes to show you that Lori is full of it. All of this crap with zombies and, you know, entities entering bodies. It was all argle bargle. And it's why she's sitting in jail behind bars for the rest of her natural life. So next up is her husband. Who knows when his trial is going to start? There's been so many delays with this. It's unbelievable. But his trial will start. My assumption is he's probably going to throw his wife under the bus, because his attorney is going to more than likely try to blame everything on Lori and her dead brother. That's just my guess. Who knows? But he's going to have a lot of explaining to do to explain why his cell phone pinged in that exact spot where the bodies were found, why his wife had certain bruises on her body. The medical examiner already ruled her death as a homicide, so he's going to have some explaining to do. But my bet is he's probably not going to take the stand in his own defense, because there's no way that he can do that the same with Lori. It just won't work. So at least chapter one of two of this case is closed. There's some sort of justice that was served here, because one person has now at least been held accountable. So that's all I have. Next up is the case of Letitia Stouch from Colorado, who was accused of killing her stepson and driving his remains all the way to Florida. So we'll talk about that. Her trial happened finally this year after multiple delays. So I hope you enjoyed that podcast, and I'll see you when I see you. Have a good day. Bye-bye. We'll chat soon.